Welcome to Living Hope. With today's teaching, here's the Reverend Richard Brunton.
Hello, welcome to the Living Hope program today. We've been looking at the subject of prayer and people whose prayer life was very significant in terms of their ministry and their effectiveness as servants of God. We looked a couple of times at Daniel, and we also spent a little time looking at Abraham. But as we bring this very little series to a conclusion, it's good to clearly look at Jesus. Now, what I'm going to share about Jesus and his prayer life, particularly thinking of Gethsemane in the Mount of Olives area, what I will be doing is just seeing how there are parallels with the other people that we've talked about in their prayer. The first thing I notice in verse 39 of Luke's Gospel, chapter 22, Jesus went as usual to the Mount of Olives. In other words, when we talked about Daniel, we talked about his upper room and going to where the window was overlooking, although some distance away, Jerusalem. It seems that Jesus had a few regular places to pray. Of course, it didn't restrict him. He prayed anywhere, everywhere. But there were those places up the mountain. And this Garden of Gethsemane, this area in Jerusalem, it seems that he often walked into that area and spent time praying and seeking God. It's also interesting, we talk about Daniel praying three times a day, and we know that when Jesus, on this particular occasion, is praying in the garden, there are these three specific times of prayer. They're not spread out over a long period, but there is this coming to God. And the other thing we mentioned, it's true of Abraham and it was true of Daniel, was a very real focus. And this wasn't an idle time of prayer, just trying to think of things to pray about. Clearly, there was a massive focus, and for Jesus, the focus is the fact that the cross is now very, very near to him. Quite interesting that Daniel is looking towards Jerusalem, where God's people belong, and Jesus is in Jerusalem, and in order to redeem us and deliver us from Satan and hell and death and sin, he's going to have to suffer and die. And this is very, very much in his mind. And, of course, the heart of the prayer, Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. And, Jesus isn't trying to get out of it. It's simply in his humanity that the weight of what was about to happen, the whole intensity of it, the gravity of it, is hitting Jesus in a very, very big way. And therefore, he's just seeking Father. And his commitment, his desire, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. And again, that's just so significant, isn't it, in our prayer lives, because so often we have an agenda and we're saying, Lord, this is what I want you to do. But to come to a place where we say, not my will, your will be done, that's a big place to come to. You're praying for a relative who you love dearly and you want them to be healed and you want them to be delivered. But sometimes to come to that place of saying, Lord, not my will, your will be done, to let them go, to release them, to be with Jesus in heaven, it's not easy. There are times when we accept the will of God, knowing that it's going to be a very hard journey. Jesus agreed with the Father about the hardest journey of all, the journey to go to the cross and die for us. What a wonderful prayer. We're going to pause and have some worship, after which my good friend Patrick will join me to look a little bit more at this prayer of the Lord Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane.
Oh, come to the table. people come share in the feast. Where the least become greatest, the great become least. Open your heart to the Holy One. Come lift high His name with your voice. Jesus is Lord. Celebrate victory with joy. Jesus is Lord. He is God's risen Son. He is Lord. And His victory is won. He is Lord. And His kingdom will come. Come bow down and worship the King. Jesus is Lord. He is God's risen Son. He is Lord.
You're listening to Living Hope, the ministry of the Reverend Richard Brunton. I'm Patrick Woodward, and I've joined Richard now to look further at the prayer of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane in Luke chapter 22. And Richard, this is the end of a short series where we've looked at different prayers, different characters in the Bible praying, Abraham and Daniel. And we looked at some of those prayers, and the impression seemed to be that here were people, it was almost as though they were trying to change God's mind, and God was planning one thing and they were saying, no, don't do that, do something else. Doesn't seem to be quite the same here. It doesn't seem as though Jesus is trying to change God's mind.
No, I think that he's very clear what he's got to do, why he's going to do it. But I think the dynamic is that it's the reality of it. I mean, Jesus was conscious of it all the time. Mm. But there was this kind of moment when suddenly this is it. And it happens in life. Yeah, there are things we know we may have to face, things that we may have to walk through. And for whatever reason, the fullness of it doesn't hit us and doesn't need to. But when the moment comes, you do need to be ready, and this prayer is preparing Jesus to go through what he knows he's got to go through.
I mean, all the prayers that we've looked at have been very passionate, very heartfelt, and this is exactly the same, Jesus and the others with an ability to be very open and very honest with God about how they're feeling.
Yeah, I think that's especially precious, isn't it? Because there's no pretense here. Mm. There's no hiding away. Jesus is under strain. Mm. I mean, Luke is the one who actually talks about his blood falling to the ground, the sweat and the blood, which is a medical condition confirmed. It can happen. Yeah. That's not made up, but it's because of the intensity of the situation.
Mm. The crux of it seems to be knowing God's will and putting God's will first. And I wonder how that relates to prayer today, to Christians today, actually knowing what God's will is almost before you start to pray.
Yes, I think that that's a very interesting way to put it, because there are times when we know God's will and then we pray, but I think there is also a sense in which when we pray, we are discovering God's will. And therefore the engagement of prayer isn't a kind of a, well, I know this is right, therefore I ask. I think sometimes just that encounter with God, that waiting on God, can release an answer. I mean, Hannah, I think, is a very good example. I'm sure that she didn't go to the temple saying, I'm going to offer to give the child back to the Lord. But as she encountered God and as she cried and prayed, she suddenly in her heart felt, this is what I need to do. She hadn't thought that before, as far as I'm aware.
Mm. So we've looked at different characters in the Bible praying in different circumstances, in different ways, seeking a response from God. And I just wonder today, how does God respond to our prayers? Because we can't say that he always answers them in the way we expect.
No, we definitely can't. I think that what I find again very interesting, it says when he rose from prayer, went back to the disciples, exhausted from sorrow and sleeping, he says, get up and pray so that you'll not fall into temptation. From this point, Jesus is going to the cross. There's no question anymore. And I think that it's like the peace that passes understanding. You pray about something, you have that sense of this is what God, and there's that strength to then actually face it and do it. Whether it's something that you are very happy about, or whether it's going to involve some sadness and grief. But the encounter with God in prayer is enabling you to have the oomph, the strength, the confidence to say, I'm going on with this.
Okay, Richard, there we must leave it. Thank you very much. So join us again next time as we continue looking at God's Word in the next Living Hope. You've been listening to Living Hope from the Reverend Richard Brunton. If you'd like to contact Richard, please visit our website at living-hope.org.uk.